Welcome to the Speckled Bees, a celebration of childhood. I'm Lucy.
And I'm Spencer.
And you are joining us for our weekly conversation on all things early childhood development and education related.
Each episode, we dive into a topic that we hope excites you as much as it excites us. Now, Lucy, I'm going to start off today by asking, have you heard of the 100-Day Project?
I kind of looked at this, and you've mentioned it a couple times, but I don't know. It sounds familiar, but yeah, no, I don't really know.
I thought I knew what it was. It's a little different from the idea. I think that this concept has been around for a while. These, you know, numerical projects. Mm-hmm. The best one I can think of in relation is the 100 Hours Outside Project that I know you've participated in. Holy moly. Yeah, 100's not a lot.
No, it's not.
Let's go camping for 2 days.
I did change it. I changed it in here.
I'm silly. It's these fun projects where you set yourself like a numerical goal. And right. I feel like just intrinsically, it makes it more exciting to hit that goal when you know there's a very strong aim to reach. It's such an easy way to set yourself.
Well, it's always like more exciting when you have like, what am I thinking? Oh, my brain. It's always exciting when you feel like you really accomplished something like that. We actually have not, but I think we would be on track for 1,000 hours outside, but we have not been good at tracking it. But it's kind of sad because we do it anyways, but it would feel like really exciting. Like we accomplished something.
There's an intrinsic and very easy gratification with accomplishing small goals. Like personally, yeah. I love to take long lists of things that I do throughout the day. I might even add something big that I have accomplished, but was not on my list.
Oh, I always do that. Always.
It feels so good to get through those lists. I love doing it at work. I absolutely bomb my planner with the lists of things I aim to get done. And it makes me feel so much better. So if you haven't heard of this project, you should look up it in your own time. But the name is pretty much a giveaway as to what it entails. 1,000 hours outside. So 1,000 hours outside focuses on getting a child outside into the boundaries of nature, whereas the 100-day project is an open and creative exploration intended to encourage the user, yourself, your children, to establish routine and consistency. Intended for adults and children, the idea of the 100-day project is simply to put a creative outlet that you will pursue and document for 100 days. The idea is that it should be congruent, but you should take the challenge at your own pace to establish goals and routine for yourself. So I will say when I initially read about this, I did think that you had to complete it 100 days straight or you would have to start over. You complete it at your own
pace. You are done when you did 100.
Exactly. If you miss a weekend, you're not going to fail this project.
Uh-huh.
And it can be as simple as drawing a small image every day. I think it's like the obvious one that comes to mind personally. Uh-huh. Or snapping a photo of something that inspires you. The concept started as a design workshop for students at Yale School of Art, which, if you don't know, is the number one ranked art school in the U.S. Oh, sorry, number two. Number one is RISD. So VCU Arts was tied for second with Yale when I was going there.
Oh, not anymore, though?
I think we've dropped a bit. I haven't looked in a while. But the concept started for the students in their graphic design program there. One of the professors had the students decide to perform an operation 100 times. And the restriction was that the operation must be repeated in some form every day and that it must be documented. Other than that, it's completely open. Take those rules as you will. The exercise evolved into a bit of a mental contemplation where many a student would begin with high hopes but become dragged down by the repetition in 20 or so days. One I loved it. It's really fascinating.
You know, I feel like that sounds about right. Like that's like new where our episode on like resolutions and things like that. Like start out the year so strong. Like, yeah, I got this. And then it just kind of tapers out. Yeah. Like I feel like 20 sounds like about the amount that I generally do something and then it stops.
Mm-hmm. This really speaks to how unrealistic my need for gratification is. Because when I read about this, I was like, how could you get bored of this? This is amazing. Like you would pick your project and you would run with it. How ridiculous of
me to think. That's so funny.
I dropped so many habits and projects because of getting bored of them. Uh-huh.
Like, like life comes up and like you just kind of, you forget one day and then you forget 2 days and then you just, it just tapers off, you know?
And I suppose that was the beauty of this project was at least for the students reviewing it, you were kind of forced to for your grade.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I can imagine the stress of it was a very different level as well. Mm-hmm. So I liked
reading. And then you do like 20 in one day because you're like, oh yeah, I totally did this. Yeah. I totally did this.
And then you, where's the value in it anymore?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, what's the point at that point? So yeah, no, it's interesting. I liked reading about what these kids did too. One of them took a picture every day with a stranger.
Oh, that's fun.
So her first picture was with her professor, but she didn't know him yet. So yeah, it's almost cute. Another one constructed a smile and would photograph it every day. So like she'd make it over cereal or like some trash she found on the ground. And then this is not one of the students, this is an artist who's pursued this project. Their name is Rachel Berger. They pulled out a paint chip from a bag every day. And then they would write a short story about each color they pulled out.
Cool.
Isn't that cool? Like creative writing, not necessarily visual arts.
Uh-huh. I like that.
Yeah. Typing this made me get really excited. Yeah. Well, I want to do this.
Cause I feel like you could just, what do they say? How many days to form a habit? Is it like,
it's quite a range, but notably this fits in with when do people drop this project? 18 to 254 days to form a habit.
Really? I thought it was like 21 days.
a very recent study has linked that 21 days can be a surefire, but it's, let me read this article to you.
Yeah.
Can you form a new habit in 21 days based on experience?
That's the word, like that's the number I feel like I've always heard.
There is a 21 day habit formulation formula that was created. But according to Philippa Lally, a health psychology researcher at the University College London, she suggests that a new habit takes a little more than 2 months, 66 days to be exact, and as much as 254 days until it's fully formed. And this was based on the behavior of 96 participants who were asked to try a new habit and practice it for 12 weeks.
Yeah. See, I actually, I have heard that number 21 days to form a habit. That makes more sense to me because like even they kind of tapered off after 20 days. I feel like that is more of a me thing. Like, yeah, I really will gung ho do it for like 20 days. And then it starts
right. It
like even 21. And then it's like, yeah, I did it for a whole month.
Feels so great.
Yeah. Like, you know,
and then you get
like,
that gratification.
Yeah. Like, you know, I could see it probably for me would probably take closer to 3 months for it to really be a habit, like a really real part of my life.
And this wonderful article does note that you can form a habit in 21 days, but it comes down to willpower. The level of commitment and willpower, how much can you be held yourself accountable for it? How much internal and external accountability are you getting? And what's the size of the habit?
Yeah.
You know, if it's like breaking smoking, I don't think that's going to go in 21 days.
Like if it takes more time, like exercise, I feel like for it to really be like, that is part of my routine. I have to do it every day. And you're exercising for like 30 minutes a day. I feel like it would take a lot longer because it's so easy to drop it out of your day because it's a time right. commitment.
And then once you drop it once, you continue.
Yeah.
This is a fascinating. Okay. So a tip as to how to form a new habit, formulate your answers, formulate your habit or goal in an emotionally captivating language. Make it like a story to yourself. Like, trying to find an example. Like,
this is the article you just looked up?
Yeah, I just posted it on the bottom and the references. It's fascinating. Uh-huh. It even suggests to turn your goal into a narrative in your head, like a story, and tell it to yourself before you go to bed every night. So it becomes like psychological glue holding the habit. This is a fascinating article.
I mean, I feel like that makes sense. Like, all of this makes that sense to me. It sounds kind of extra, but I feel like the things that I have really changed, like, I'm going to do this and I actually stick to it and do it, are things that I like are really like dramatic and like, you know, like, oh, tomorrow I'm going to do this thing and it's going to be a habit for the rest of my life. And you like feel neutral about it. It's always when you're like, and this is the kind of person I'm going to be and my life will be changed from this moment onward, you know, like,
yep.
So that makes sense. It's
how do you structure your brain to acknowledge that the gratification might not be here now, but will come soon. Tell it to yourself as a story. I like that a lot. But yeah, and so in regards to the 100 days in relation to this habit forming that we've just discussed, it's a beautiful project in the way in which it deters people because it speaks to the power of it. If we push ourselves to move beyond monotony and boredom and to establish routine towards a higher end, we are working to better ourselves. So I just want to kind of discuss this project in relation to ideas of perseverance. Sorry, I was having a hard time with the word. Oh, I was going to say preservation over and over. I was like, perseverance? So I want to discuss this project and ideas of perseverance in routine with children. We've just discussed a bit of habit forming and how that occurs. And let's just, you know, get down to the basics of establishing the groundworks of routine making with children to set them up to be more powerful adults later in life. So, Lucy, fun question. What kind of 100-day projects can you think of that are child-friendly? Specifically Leo, what can you do with Leo?
Well, I had one immediately come to mind and then I looked down on this and I was like, oh, those are way more fun. So I feel like it would be good to have balance. But like the thing that we're working on right now is Leo could stop wearing a diaper during his nap if he wanted to. But like, it's like, if you can keep your diaper dry for like any, a couple of times he's wanted to, but it's like, well, if you can keep your diaper dry for a couple of days, then you can do it. So, I mean, 100 days would probably be a little extreme to be like, you have to keep your diaper dry for 100 days and then you can try it without. So, okay, maybe like cut this whole thing because.
No, I love that. But that's the point. I'm obviously on a very like creative mindset of how this should be pursued. It should be 100 days of anything, 100 days of any concept that you want to set your mind to. Mm-hmm. And diapering and escaping the diaper is very essential and can be creative. Like, you know, perhaps he gets to put.
I really
a pair of big boy underwear.
That's cute. I really want to do like a sticker chart or something like that. I just have been too lazy to make one, but like every day that his diaper's dry, he gets to put a little sticker. And once he gets, you know, if he can do it for 2 whole weeks, then he can, you know, try without his diaper. I think that would maybe be fun.
I think that'd be really cool with him.
So I also like, this is just a note. I hope you don't think I'm arguing with this on it, but I just like, for us, 100 days, like, that's kind of a long time. For a child, 100 days is forever.
It's a lifetime. So
I don't think it's a bad idea to, like, to do it more in a realm of what they can fathom more, you know, like, do it for, like, 5 days is a long time for a 2-year-old. Like, that would be a big deal. So, So I think it is not a bad idea to even start on a smaller scale, and then long-term you yourself, you can be like, we're going to do this for 100 days, but let's start. We're going to do this for a week. We're going to do this for 7 days, you know? one of the ones that I saw on your list was make a colorful meal each day. Let me get you this book. Be right back. My mom got us the cutest books for Easter. They're the recipe a day kids cookbook.
Wait, that's perfect.
Yeah. Like, it's by the Food Network magazine. And it's really cool because it goes through and, like, so, like, March 29th has a cherry cola smoothie. Legend has it that the first batch of Coca-Cola was created on this day in 1886. Or, like,
that's cool.
March 31st, pain au chocolat, because it's the Eiffel Tower opened in Paris on this day in 1889.
I love this book.
So, like, it tells you things about that day. Like, not always.
I want this book.
Like, I know. I really love it. We have not done a single thing out of it. But I think it would be a really fun idea to do something like that.
Yeah. See, I love that. Like, imagine, I just like when people set themselves interesting hobbies. Like, it can be so simple as just, I don't know, like, making a line on a paper every day. Like, it doesn't need to be hard, or it could be as interesting as, and again, it doesn't have to be every day. It just needs to, you have to try it for 100 overall days. It could be like every Tuesday and Thursday, you have an interesting meal. You have a, like, themed meal. I love the fact that it's themed around the days. I mean, that's so cool with dates and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I would have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, it's a really cool little book. I could, like, sit and just look at it for a really long time. But on this list too, you have place a leaf in a book every day.
I thought about that one.
I did something similar with a preschool class. Like, I was a preschool teacher, and we did a nature journal that somebody was assigned every day during the outside time. Like, they were anything that they found outside, like that. Like, they were our, I don't, this was years and years ago, so I don't even remember. They had some sort of title. Even at the Compass School in Manassas, they kind of did something like that.
They did that. I can't, was it the guide, like the guide of the day, the nature guide or something?
Yeah. And they did it a little bit differently. They documented it mostly with pictures, but we had a little book that they found some little nature item from outside, and we would take contact paper and we'd put it in the book, and then we'd have like a circle time or something where we would have them talk about it. And we were not always
obsessed.
Yeah, it was really cool. I loved it. And we were not always very consistent with it. And I had lots of teachers in that classroom, and so it was hard to keep this up, but I think that it would be a super fun one as a parent or a teacher to have, like, 100 days. We're just going to see what we find for 100 days. I love that.
Oh, no, I just think it'd be so, one of my visions of that is, like, I personally would love to go get, like, a vintage, like, book, you know, like an old, really pretty book, and just press, like, a flower into it every day.
Oh, I love flower pressing. Oh, I love it.
It'd just be so much fun. Like, oh my gosh. So that's, I like that one a lot. I think it's so easy. That to me is the easiest one because there's very little effort. You go outside, grab it, but it's still creative and it's still interesting. I love that one. Mm-hmm. I just kind of threw a bunch out onto like a small list. Well, another one I liked because I really like clothing is grab a fabric marker and even just make a line on a piece of white clothing for 100 days.
That's fun.
Like I was thinking it could be like a skirt or like a jacket, something that, or a white t-shirt or a hat. Like, maybe it's a hat that you send your kid off to school and every day you like, right? What if you put a heart on your kid's hat every day when they go to school?
Oh my gosh, that would be so cute. I love that, a little white hat, and you do something on it every single day.
Oh my gosh,
that's so cute. Honestly, that would be really cool for teacher. Like, a lot of classrooms celebrate like the 100th day of school. That's a really common theme, but it would be really cool to like, instead of like, let's do it on this 100 day, to do it the whole year, like do something where you're collecting something every single day. And so you're seeing the impact of what 100 is. Oh my goodness. I like this topic, Spencer. This is cool.
Thank you. It's just, there's so many things she can do. I included one on here that's not unique and it might sound silly, but one of the students did this and got very popular. She took a picture with a chair for 100 days and had to pose differently with it every time. So at first it was really easy and then it got really, really hard.
that sounds like a good idea to start out with, but then it would be like, oh crap.
So the most popular platform that uses, unsurprisingly, this project is Instagram, as it being a visual platform. So I was looking at the hashtag 100 day project to see what people are doing. This one woman, I think this is so simple, but it's so easy. She is just wearing a new outfit every day. So she's,
I feel styling. Like that's cheating.
Like it's
no.
That I actually, guess she ran out of stuff.
Well, again, it would be hard like that at the beginning. You just wear different clothes, but then you have to figure out different outfits. I feel like you could do this very easily. Me, it would be very tricky for me.
We should challenge you. So she every day she posts a picture of herself in a new outfit and tags it 100 days. And I'm like, that's cool, you know? So I'm going to try doing this myself. I think I'm going to keep it really simple and just do a drawing for 100 days. I'm trying to get my practices up. I know it's boring. I feel like I could do something more interesting, but I want to go... Okay, back to the little part about habit forming. Set realistic boundaries with reasonable goals. Can I do that on the go? Yes. Does it motivate me? Yes. Is there an intrinsic value to it? Big time, yes. I could.
Yeah.
I love social media and I could share it and boost my art account. Like I'm not.
Well, and it would just be you practicing art and getting better at it, which is a big part of your job, you know?
So I feel very, I'm like, yep, I want to do this. So I feel pretty good about doing this 100 day project. So I am looking forward to starting this about the time that we are going to release this episode. I'm kind of holding myself to that deadline.
You be done by then or you start?
To start it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I get them all done.
I was like, I don't think that's 100 days.
It's 14.
We do record in advance, but not that far in
the
advance.
The concern on your face, you're like, okay, good luck.
Well, I was also thinking that wouldn't be a bad idea of like, what's the word? Oh my gosh, I couldn't think of this during a workshop. I was teaching a workshop the other day and I couldn't remember this word and I was so embarrassed. We have accountability. Okay, there we go.
Yes,
it would be kind of a good accountability thing to be like, I'm gonna do this every day until this episode comes out. Like, have that, and then I can post about it when this episode comes out. Look at what I've done so far. So maybe you should start it today and see if you can do it every day until this episode comes out and show what you've done so far.
I think that's why I'm just going to do like random drawings, because one thing I was thinking about doing for a while was to draw a small picture based on a news cycle story that came out the day. And I was like, but then I'd really be held to, I could not work ahead of time. I could not do ahead. Like, so I'm going to try to get this done early so I can really build it up and post on my art account. That'd be fun. And I definitely get to space out my 100 days based a lot on, this is boring for anybody else, the principles of social media. If you overpost, you're overdoing it. And I'm like, fun fact, you can't overpost in TikTok, but you can't overpost in Instagram. Algorithms, woo.
Yay.
Yay. Yeah.
Or so, my Instagram is still not working. So I was post like never. Going. So I don't even get on anymore. Every once in a while. If I delete it.
You're reminding me. So notably repeatedly in the original 100 Days Project study, it's the sheer boredom that begins to set in after the first month of this continuous and monotonous act. And in all senses, the 100-Day Project is therefore emphasizing what we already know, that continuous reinforcement and repetition in daily lives betters our overall life skills because we are persevering through what might stall us in the beginning. So just like we discussed earlier in regards to habit forming, it might appear monotonous at first, but there is purpose towards continuing a habit, towards continuing towards a goal. What habits, Lucy, do you incorporate into your routine, whether it's daily or weekly, and how do they benefit you long-term? Like anything.
I mean, I feel like there's tons that we like don't even think of, like just like brushing your teeth.
That was the first one I thought of.
Yeah. Like, are there like any, what other habits do I generally go to the bathroom at a specific time. Yeah. Brushing my hair. Yeah. I always do at the same time. I can't go to bed without taking a shower. I've become a nighttime shower. And like, I cannot fall asleep if I haven't taken a shower. So after our recording, when we're done at like 2 a.m, I still have to go and take a shower to like, maybe like not even wash my hair, but I have to take a shower. That's just part of my nightly routine to wind down.
I mean, that's a lot of studies have shown that's really good for your immune system too. Like a nice warm shower just to finish up the night. So yeah, I respect that one a lot. I'm actually looking at my Finch app right now to see what habit it suggested me to follow through most often. See, here's habits I'd like to form to help me out long-term. Avoid heavy meals before bedtime. Hmm. Rinse my mouth after every meal. Practice breathing activities each day. I'm really working on that one. I've found that is becoming much more commonplace in my life.
John is really good at it. John sets an alarm early to like, he wakes up and starts every morning with breathing exercises.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. That's
a habit I'm trying to work on and I'm going to start big. So if this sounds crazy to anybody, I'm trying my best. I need to be out of bed an hour after I get up, after I wake up. Because I will wake up very early and stay in bed for the longest time.
I thought you were saying like you were only going to let yourself sleep for an hour. And I was like,
oh my God, can you imagine? New like, habits.
That's a bad idea. Okay. Yeah. No. I do. I do the same very recently. I think it's for me, it's become a mom thing. Like since I've become a mom, now that Leo sleeps in somewhat in the morning that like sleep in, I mean, like he'll wake up at like 7:30. And that will be nice, but that I'll stay in bed on my phone. So I get some time alone on my phone, but I think I would rather, it probably would be better if I got up and started doing something. I'd probably feel much better about my day, you know?
No, I agree. I feel like it makes you more productive. There's on this little self-care app I use, I've been trying to do this habit. I have not tried it yet. If you can't fall asleep within 30 minutes of going to bed, you need to get up and try to do something to make yourself go to bed. And I feel like it's the same principle reversed.
Yeah.
Like
I like that one. I actually, cause I generally am a really good sleeper, but lately I've had some trouble sleeping. Yeah. And that one is like, it was life changing for me when I realized that I could get out of bed once I've already been in bed. And like, my thing that I've been thinking that I really want to do is, part of my yoga teaching and maintaining certification and stuff like that, I want to just make sure that I'm doing a little bit of yoga every day, like whether or not that is me waking up and doing just like a quick sun salutation as soon as I wake up
That's pretty straightforward too. That you know, it takes physical prowess, but it's not too taxing overall.
And it doesn't take a lot of time. If I do just like I've even sometimes I'll do like, I sing a song with children to do the sun salutation. And so it's just like this quick move, like flow through it. and I'll do that for me. And so like, it really doesn't take a lot of time. So I should just do that. Make sure I'm doing that every single day.
This is where the 100 day thing comes in really strongly. Is it's not supposed to be hard habits at first. We need to start with the easy ones mm-hmm. to form the habit.
Do the ones we should be doing anyways.
Yeah,
you know, instead of shooting for, I'm going to wake up at 5 o'clock every morning and I'm going to exercise for an hour and then I'm going to take a shower and then I'm, you know, like, just start out with the,
like all the. Again, looking at things on my list of things that my app wants me to do, I have a hard time with this one. Go to sleep at a consistent time every night.
Yeah.
Like, it's really good for your sleep habits. It's really hard for
John's so good at it, and I am so bad at it.
I respect that. He's got so much self-discipline.
He has a lot. It sometimes is hard because he has so much self-discipline that he often expects other people to also have, like me. He's like, why can't you like just do that?
It's like, well,
I don't know. I just
You sound very disciplined, Lucy. So much discipline. I thought this was really interesting. The University of Florida has done studies on how productive it is to even include routines in your life, because it can actually help you with social development skills. Because by engaging in everyday routines and activities, predictable steps, activities are obviously going to occur in your routine. So it's providing you with opportunities in life. This is children and adults to practice life skills with actions in your life that have meaning and use. And so I thought this was a fascinating way of simply describing the fact that if you need more of a reason to practice your life skills and your life habits more intrinsically, more commonly, just think about how it's benefiting you on an overall scale, not just internally, but externally. You're bettering yourself and bettering your abilities. So to break this down more complexly, they did a study on their campus preschool program on the advancement of social skills. They found that relationships and repetitions should occur in a child's everyday routine and activities, because activities occur within the routine. Like if a child's getting their diaper change, you wouldn't play a game of peekaboo during diaper change. Or that they could stand alone, such as painting at an easel with a friend. But everyday routine and activities provide opportunities for children to practice skills or learn new skills when and where they are meaningful and useful. Some routines and activities happen at home, while others happen in the community or in early education and care programs. Many happen in more than one place, so children have repeated opportunities to engage in nurturing and responsive relationships. This also means they have repeated opportunities to practice skills in different places and with different people or with different toys or materials. I just thought that was a fascinating way of emphasizing the overall benefits of a routine and the ways in which it nurtures us for long-term capability.
Yeah. I liked, cause this has been like talking about it. I'm thinking about it. Like we've talked a little bit about doing it with children, but I keep going back to like me personally.
You can't help it because as parents, we have to reflect like, and how we can do this for ourselves.
But like seeing how to integrate it more with a child, I loved where like going back, routines are predictable and often have several steps. So for example, changing the diapers, activities can occur within a routine, for example, playing a game of peekaboo during a diaper change. I think that is a really useful tip for parents and teachers, or I don't know that that was necessarily a tip, but yeah, like going back to our conversation about making a routine, like something that you should or could be doing, but not like changing things drastically. Like what is something that I do that is a mundane task that could be an opportunity for connection? You know, I've talked multiple times about how like at the end of the night, and we haven't done this so much anymore. This is a good time for me to recommit to doing this because it used to be so special, is at the end of the day, going through our day and with Leo and having him talk about what his favorite part of the day was.
Mention this.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like, it was so meaningful and such a wonderful moment for connection in our day. And it was fairly simple to do. And again, we have not been doing it, so I should recommit. But I think that that is a good way to do this with children, is it's just what are you having to do every day anyways? So making lunch. And so you could do it where you're doing a fun meal every day, or, you know, or like, I love the idea with the diaper change. That can often be such a frustrating part of the day when you have like a toddler who like is rolling around the floor trying to get out of your diaper or their diaper, and you're just trying not to get poop everywhere. And I love the idea of using it for a moment of connection, of having them sit on the table for a second, or wherever you're changing them, and singing a song first. Have that part of your routine is like, we have a diaper changing song now. Like, I've done that. I know my friend had, like, they were really, really dedicated to singing their diaper song, and it made a difference for me. It really made a difference for her, to just make it more part of the routine. Like, children, and this is not just like, oh, we need to set children up with good habits. Routines are... Are you okay there, Spencer? My bad. But yeah, like routines are, it's not just about habit for like setting up good habits. Routines are like essential for children. Right. They have to have routines. That's how they're like, that's safety for them.
It's security.
And so like that, like, so like either saying a prayer before eating your food, or like in preschools, you often sing a song that lets us know that it's time for mealtime. It's a wonderful moment for connection and practicing these skills, and like lets them know the routine and lets them know what to expect. So I think this can be a really powerful thing to do with children that is not... It doesn't even have to be a big thing. It's just like, what is a hard moment in your day with the children that you interact with? And how can you make, like, bring a little bit more joy and connection into that routine and do that for 100 days and see if that works, and see if you find something that kind of is life-changing.
Yeah, because exactly to that point, the best part about establishing routine and setting these boundaries is that you're helping them better understand and seek a sense of control with the world around them by giving them a way to grasp and control. And that's my argument I would make very lightly against. I'm sure we have some parents that might listen that are more free boundary type parents, which there's no issue with that on certain levels. And it's not asking you to control your child's life or set them to a strict guideline. It's asking you to consider what benefits them the most and how can you help that benefit become a part of their everyday life, and what's the best way to do so. I did want to mention, I was going to jump down to this topic just real quick, because you mentioned preschools, how routine is very essential there. It not only helps to set, you know, feelings of belonging in the classroom and feelings of unity, having routine, it's just a really good way for kids to learn responsibility, timekeeping, and other aspects of adulthood, of being understanding the world. I wanted to mention, we see it all the time in preschools as visuals, visual routines. So like, yeah, you know, my day charts or calendars on the wall. I know we've talked about the difficulty of calendars in certain age groups in the past in our mathematics episode, but it's still...
Well, and this is different. This is in a like...
time
where they can conceptualize this, because this is not like Wednesday means nothing. But this of, when we wake up, we go potty, and then we brush our teeth, and then we eat breakfast, like these things where it's like, this is a they totally understand this concept of what do we do every day at this time. And that's really comforting for them to know that.
As I typed this, I had a really strong core memory pop up. And I think it was an elementary school, maybe first, second grade, perhaps even older. We had a teacher, she had a really strong whiteboard visual chart. So it was laminated stickers, you know, it was recess, the subjects of the day, et cetera. And it was so cool coming in the morning, so there was something special added in there, like a specialty project or something was taken out. It was thrilling to look at that schedule, to see how the routine had adjusted or stayed the same. I just remember the thrill of that schedule, of finding out something special was happening that day.
Uh-huh.
So I, you know, good core memory.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. And so I wanted to bring up, you know, how do you establish your routine? You're a preschool teacher and you want to establish something more certain in the class. You're a parent and you want to establish a routine with your young children or with your older kids who can participate more actively. How do you start projects at the 100 days or just simply washing your hands after a meal? North Shore University's Dr. Kaplan suggests these following steps. Decide what needs to be in your routine. So what factors are going into it? What needs to happen? What items? If you're going to be putting your clothes away more often, do you have laundry hampers for that? Actually, Evan and I are working on that one right now. We are so tired of, I feel like we all have this problem. And I saw this life hack. You have clothes that you've only worn once. They're not that smelly. They're not, there's nothing wrong with them, but they're technically dirty, but they're not clean exactly either.
So you don't want them touching your clean clothes, but you don't want them in the dirty clothes. Yeah.
I saw this idea that you get very pretty wall baskets that are like just mid-sized. They're not very large, not very small. And then you make them a, like a clean clothes hamper, like clothes that are freshly clean that you haven't had time to organize, and a not quite dirty clothes basket that you can put those clothes in. I said that was fun. Good way to organize, you know? So yeah. Make sure you have what you need for your routine. Set small goals for your routine. Lay out a plan as to how to accomplish your routine. Make it fun, because gosh, that's what we talked about the 100 days. You need to have a reason to keep it going. Track your progress. Again, the 100 days you must document, and reward yourself. So with these simple steps, decide what needs to be done, set small goals, lay out a plan, make it fun, track progress and rewards. You will have an easier time, according to the North Shore University study, of establishing a routine. Good to know. It seems straightforward, but it's good to remind ourselves. So one routine habit I wanted to mention that is also helpful for overall routine. I want to add this in my routine, but it's also a good thing to help your routines, is implementing family meetings. I recently read about this. It's a really nice way to ground yourself, whether it's just you and your partner or it's you and your children combined in this meeting. It's a great way of establishing mutual goals, mutual intentions, and plans for the future in a setting. So actually my husband and I had our one today, and we sat together for an hour and we could only discuss things that were pertinent. So we made grocery lists, scheduled appointments, and set up cleaning schedules. It's very helpful.
Yeah. This is a very Mormon thing to do.
Is it? It's funny. We are not. So this is new.
No, I mean, we don't have claim over this, that like nobody else does this, but it's very Mormon. We do that. It's interesting how it's evolved too over the years, because how we did it as just a couple was very different than how we generally do it now with a child. But yeah, we do our Sunday dinner. Our Sunday evening dinner is generally when we do our family meeting, and we review all the good things we did that week and all the things we want to work on and what are specific things that we can do to help each other that week. And we go over our calendar and I feel like it's a helpful thing. Everyone should definitely do it to make sure everyone's on the same page, and it helps your routine.
Makes sense. Like it's a really good way to
put everybody on the same page.
Yeah.
That's the best way I can put it. So the beauties of technology, I like to share notes with my husband in Google Docs. It's like, there you go. Can't really do it with kids. Again, back to the visuals.
Yeah.
Here, Leo, here's your Google Doc for the day. Do you want to go back and forth on the list that of Colorado State University recommendations to structure a family meeting?
Yeah.
So this is by researchers of Colorado State, Fetch and Dr. Jacobson. They suggest structuring your meeting as such. Number one, meeting at a regularly scheduled time.
Did you want to elaborate on that? Okay. Two, rotating meeting responsibilities.
Three, encourage the whole family to participate. That goes to number two pretty well.
Four, discuss and solve one topic at a time.
That's, I have a hard time with that one.
Yeah, that's tricky, but that is a good rule of thumb.
Five is a great one for every day. Use I messages. Comes off better in a group setting to say I feel, not you. Oh,
I was like, I thought this was like an iPhone thing. Yeah, I was like, I feel like that's not a good idea.
You're like, why would you say this?
No, like, I feel like it's better to talk in person about these. But yes, I messages. Yeah, I statements. Okay. Let's just, we only text the whole time.
That's great bonding.
Yes, I messages. Yeah. So you're not accusing each other. Okay, good. Six, make decisions by consensus.
Seven, take breaks.
Yeah. Eight, end with something fun.
I love these tips because I can just imagine the ways that these meetings devolve. Like, I messages, don't make any choices without everybody agreeing, take a break. Okay, like time for ice cream.
Well, that's all. We always, we did kind of like a family meeting thing on Mondays while I was growing up. But the best ones were definitely when we went and got ice cream. And like we'd have like a family meeting in the car on the way there. But then we got ice creams.
And it's all worth it.
As a parent, I've learned like that's something I kept note of. There's a lot you can get away with as a parent if ultimately you're going to give your child ice cream. So
I mean, there's a lot anybody can get away with me if they give me a sweet treat at the end. I'm pretty malleable in that sense. You don't got to do a lot with me.
Life is busy. Routines can help you feel more organized and in control, which lowers your stress.
Dear God, is that true? I've had the most stressful week and I have not kept up with my new routines and habits. And it's like, maybe if I kept up with those, I wouldn't feel as bad.
Yeah, it's one. It's a cycle. Those cycles.
Regular and consistent routines can help you make, can help make you feel like you're doing a good job as a parent. I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree. Routines help your family get through your daily tasks more efficiently and free up time for other things.
Yeah, I think effective was a good word too. Routines often mean you don't have to sort out disputes and make decisions. For example, if Sunday night is pizza night, no one needs to argue about what's for dinner. I love that. Because what a good point. It's like, okay, you know what you're doing. Don't break it up. You have your point. Like, stick with it.
Well, and you don't have to be the bad guy. I think that's a powerful thing for a parent and for a teacher. This is the established thing. You know what we do. You know, we always wash hands after we come in from outside time. You know, we always brush teeth before we go to bed. You know, like, this is what we always do. So this is what we're going to do. And like, it's easier to stay calm about it. It's easier to like, not, you're not getting into a war with your child over it. It's never good to get into a power struggle when it's just the thing, you know, this is
exactly,
just, this is what we always do. This is
thing. And then, so one thing I want to put in here, and I know you've mentioned it lately already.
I know. I didn't realize that. Sorry.
So I wanted to shout out a little beanie here because one great routine to one great addition to a routine is physical activity, especially one that can be done easily and in the comfort of your home, like yoga poses. So I just want to bring that up. Lucy, do you have any like easy yoga poses that people could perform within the comfort of their home?
Hard to just tell about, because there's like a couple like everyone knows Down Dog and Up Dog.
Well, yeah, that's
like,
great.
You know, but there are a couple, like, I used to have these all on my phone, but I don't know. I must have deleted them for space. Cosmic Kid Yoga is an app you can use that has like, they have a lot of good information on there. I bet they have some sort of thing where they have just like one pose. There's another app. There's lots of like yoga apps for children. There's one that I had that that had like ABC yoga, yoga for like each like letter of the alphabet. Like it would start with that letter or look like that letter or something like that. And that would be a fun one to do. You do like 26 days and you do like a different letter every day, or you could do, a couple of days of animal poses. Like you could break it down and just look up a bunch of animal poses and do a week of animal poses, or, and then do a week of like, I don't know.
That's a good 100-day project.
Yeah. You know, so that like there's a lot of resources that you could look up that would be really helpful with that. But that's a cute idea. I like that.
I like that a lot. And then I wanted to mention, you know, just to quell any concerns. I hope there's not a lot, but I thought I'd mention, won't too much structure dull our sense of spontaneity and creativity? If you're forcing yourself to engage in an art project, are there concerns? And the answer is sure, if it's imposed without sensitivity. There are times when rules are made to be broken, but staying up late to see an eclipse or leaving the dinner dishes in the sink to play charades, that's like the times when it's acceptable because you're enjoying life, you're living. There's like anything in life, we see this almost every episode, everything in moderation, everything with understanding. But even the most creative artists start by mastering the conventions of the past, and they find the pinnacle of their expression in working within the confines of specific rules. There's no reason structure has to be oppressive. Think of a routine as your friend, offering the little routines and traditions that make life both easier and cozier. Not only will your kids soak up that security, but they'll internalize the ability to structure their own lives.
I would also say that it makes those special moments a lot more special when you have a routine, but then you get to stay up late to watch the eclipse, or get to stay up late to watch a movie, or when you set up a picnic and you get to watch or eat your dinner on a picnic blanket while you're watching TV or a movie or something like that. If you do that all the time, it's not special, but having these routines make those special moments a lot more special.
One thing I found interesting as an adult on that note is how easily, when you have the ability and means to eat the things that you like the most, you get sick of those things. Because when you make something that was special to you not special anymore, it loses any of its magic. So I agree. Making things special by making the day by day
special,
and it's predictable as it should be. And then I wanted to bring up something in regards to sticking with your routines, is a great quote by Winston Churchill, to remember that success is not final, failure is not fatal, and it's the courage to continue that count.
I love that. That's sweet. I like that.
Yeah. And notably, so you guys, it's been amazing talking with you about routine. We're going to try practicing these 100-day projects at our own pace once this episode is released. So keep an eye out for that. One great project to keep an eye out, though, is this is episode 45. We are 5 episodes away from our 50th episode. If you haven't yet, add this into your daily routine. Send us a clip, a voice memo, a video, because we can take a soundbite from that, a soundbite of a favorite childhood memory.
Yeah, we are super excited for this. We love including y'all in whatever we do. And this was a really wonderful way that we can really celebrate childhood. Thank Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
And we look forward to speaking with you next week.
Beckleby.
Buzzing.
Buzzing. Yeah. All right. And you can't sing that song.
Routine. Wait, cheese.